And here at WWIB, it is our Hope and Holes final week now, final week. And we'll have a guest putter, Caroline, a wonderful Caroline from our sales team. She's going to be in here earlier than I've ever seen her here this morning. She's due to be here as our 6:45 to 6:50 putter. And somebody goes away with a $20 gift card to Olson's Ice Cream. And I know a guy. I know a guy for his birthday one time. Jason Kins, you ever hear about this guy? He took his family and went to like three ice cream shots, and they all kind of voted and tried to decide who had the best ice cream.
I heard about that guy, and that guy was me. We were actually just talking about that yesterday, so it's funny that you bring that up. My kids all went to Cold Stone yesterday, and so we brought up the going to the ice cream places, and that was a great time.
And Olson's is a wonderful one that, of course, built its reputation in Chippewa Falls, but we've been thrilled to have it downtown Eau Claire, pretty much consistent with the Pablo being in Eau Claire. So,
right. Yeah. Yep. It's a great little spot. That was one of them on our trip, and they definitely serve up great ice cream. So,
absolutely. All right. So check that out. Hey, you know, I had these amazing brain facts from a few weeks back, and I think I mentioned it to you like one time, and then I kind of set it aside. But I'm driving in this morning going, the guy's a neuropsychologist. This is the sixth year he's been on the radio with you. You've not really talked to him about the brain enough. So,
okay.
These are some facts. For instance,
sure.
Even though the brain processes pain signals, the brain itself does not actually feel pain. Huh?
That is true. There are no pain receptors in the brain.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting. I've actually been in the operating room while people are having brain surgery, and depending on what type of brain surgery they have, they'll actually wake people up once they get into the brain, and they'll be talking with them, and they can touch parts of the brain, and the people won't feel it. So it's interesting.
Hmm. Let me take a side path, which is just in terms of, I remember back even when my kids were in soccer and they were talking about, wow, we've learned more in the last 5 years than we did in the last 30 about the brain and concussions. And so what exactly happens in a concussion?
Yeah, so what happens in the concussion, right? So there has to be a direct blow to the head. What happens is the brain gets jarred around, and it basically causes this neurochemical disruption, and it can lead to a whole bunch of different symptoms that people have. Required is alteration in consciousness. So either people get knocked out or they get dazed and that sort of thing. And, you know, it can lead to trouble with memory and focus, headaches, mm-hmm. Balance issues, visual changes. We certainly have seen that happening in a whole bunch of different places, sports and in other areas as well.
Huh.
Now, what I like to tell people, because this is unfortunately, the pendulum has swung so far, is that people think that like when they hit their head on a cabinet, they've gotten a concussion. That's not a concussion,
yeah.
Right? You know, it's just hitting your head is not the same thing as having a concussion.
Huh.
And, you know, so I have people who come in and like, oh, I've been concussed hundreds of times. And I'm like, you probably haven't, right? You know?
Uh-huh.
But it's this alteration in consciousness that comes from a blow to the head.
Here's the controversial question.
Yeah.
If one of your children wanted to play tackle football, would you give the green light, or does it depend on the age? You would not.
No. I don't know if I would have that choice, depending on how old they were. But, not only in terms of brain health, but in terms of what happens to the body. I just think the body takes a brutal beating. And I say that as someone who played high school and college football.
That's true. I wasn't thinking of that.
I know a lot of people who would say the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next scripture we have lined up for us is actually Romans 13, 1 through 5. And so there's the 1 through 5 is the way you partition it off in letters to the beloved. So let's close with Larry Crabb again, making our way his books from Connecting On. The guy wrote a lot of books, Jason.
He did. Yeah, I think at least 4. No, how many were there? 28?
Yeah, 27, I think you commented on in Living in the Larger Story, The Christian Psychology of Larry Crabb. So let's finish with this. And again, Focus on the Family has been one of our anchor shows. He was a multi-time guest there with James Dobson or with Jim Daly. Pick your host. But Fully Alive was a 2013 book, a biblical vision of gender that frees men and women to live beyond stereotypes. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, you know, so again, I think Larry, he in his books, covers a number of different themes, gender being one of them. And so he, as is always often true with his books, takes a third path, right? And so he describes himself as neither complementarian, where, you know, men and women have equal and distinct roles, or egalitarian, where everything is equal. But really about this idea about how we relate with one another. And he...
he always kind of brings it back to relationship.
Always, yeah. And also spiritual growth, right? And so he kind of goes with these Hebrew words to kind of talk about how men and women are described and how it fits with gender. You know, I haven't read this book in a long time, but it's definitely an interesting perspective if you've been struggling with what do biblical gender roles look like. I think it's a really good addition to that
very good
whole literature.
So. I remember interviewing him about it. Thank you, friend, our buddy Jason Kanz this morning here on WWIB. And we talk about the listener line leads, and we start with Birthday Bob in Rice Lake. Yeah, he's got one this morning at 715-396-1670. He writes, happy birthday to my mother-in-law, Charlotte, and her twin sister, Sharon. Sharon with a C, C-H-A-R-R-O-N. Bob continues, thank you both for being such sweet living examples of God's love to your families and many, so many friends. So there we go. Thank you, Bob. And then he sends a birthday cake. Happy birthday to you. So a special message for both of them. WWIB, she's here. Our guest putter, Caroline, is here. Good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning.
What time do you usually get up, and what time did you get up?
Okay, so I am not a morning person at all. So this was early for me. Usually, well, I do have to get up around 6 anyway because I have to put my younger kids on the bus. But if I don't have to get up, I like to sleep till 8.
Okay, yeah. And this morning you got up at?
Actually, I was up at 5 this morning because my husband gets up early for work and he was noisy.
Okay. All right. Well, good to have you here. And somehow Carol persuaded you to say yes to this. So.
Yeah. You know, normally I wouldn't be able to come in this early because of my younger kids' schedule, but they are on spring break this week because every school has a different spring break schedule. And so I was able to sneak out a little early.
Have you done any of the putting yet?
I have practiced a little bit, and I am very bad at it.
Were you in yesterday? I didn't see you.
I was not, no.
Did Michelle go 5 for 5? Because it looks like whoever, they're all
Michelle
5 in the net.
Is really good at that.
Yeah, wow. She may take it up professionally. Also on this day in 2017, the largest banana split, get this, Caroline, the largest banana split was made in Innisfail, Australia. Any idea how long it was? You'd never guess.
I have no idea, but I do love a good banana split.
Okay, but if I told you a banana split that was a mile long, you'd be like, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But it was longer. It was longer than 2 miles, longer than 3, longer than 4. This banana split 8 years ago was almost 5 miles long. That is crazy.
That took a lot of bananas.
That took a lot of planning.
Yes, it did.
It's also today's special events. 9 months until Christmas. It's Holy Monday, International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. It is International Waffle Day, Cerebral Palsy Awareness Day. It's National Day of Celebration of Greek and American Democracy, Medal of Honor Day. Pecans have their own day. And it's Tolkien Reading Day, J.R. Tolkien. Meanwhile, the day's number is a big one, not 100 million. How about 100 billion? That is the amount of money spent on road maintenance each year in this country.
Wow.
I'm just blowing your mind this morning.
You are. This is too early for all of this knowledge for me.
Well, you're like, wow, if getting up this early can be this educational, maybe I should do it every day.
I probably should. I should probably get up and exercise every day, too.
WWIB, the Whip Wake Up Show, coming up on 11 before 7 and 20 degrees, and it is time for the birds to sing. It's our background music. You know, we did Hope and Hoops for so many years, even the first half of this month, but it's Hope and Holes here, the latter half of March this month, raising money for WIB Incorporated. And again, we've got five different names going to be in the Olson's Ice Cream Drawing. You can still sneak in if you want. at 715-396-1670 before Caroline, she's ready to go. So let me just set the scene. We've got Vicky in Eau Claire, $3 per make, $2 per miss. Alan in Elk Mound, Elk Mound, have they thought about pronouncing it that way? $4 per make, $2 per miss. Also, our friend Caroline brought in three supporters of her own. Nancy Longdo, a $20 flat pledge. Julie Fry, $5 each make. And Sue Rank, also $5 each make. Caroline, are you ready?
I am ready.
The birds are chirping. Have at it. Here we go. Butt number one is off to the left a little bit. All right. She was two for... Yeah, there's the second one. And, oh, just nice touch right into the middle of the 300 net. So she's one for two. Nice job on that one. There's the third one. And she's shooting for the 1,000 points and off a bit. So one for three. Two more putts. Number four is going to be off, too. Kind of between the middle nets, the three middle nets, and the 1,000 on the right. So one for four. This is her final putt to try to go two for five. Caroline doesn't quite get it in there, and it hopped back over the ramp. You just never know what this thing's going to do. The Izzo Golf System. So one for five. We'll get some post-putting thoughts from Caroline here. We'll see if she blames it on waking up early. What do you think?
I definitely think I should not have done the practice shot. I should have just went straight in with no practice.
Oh, okay. Because you made the first two practice.
I did.
Yeah.
So if I do this again, yeah, I'm not going to practice.
Well, we welcome you back anytime.
Well, this is kind of like the way my life is in general. I do best by just diving in and doing things and not thinking about them.
Uh-huh. So. Well, you know what? We are going to figure out who our winner is because the Olson's Ice Cream gift card. And by the way, you did make a putt, so we want to get you this, which is always nice. The golf clap. But, yeah, we got to figure out who of those five wins themselves the $20 Olson's Ice Cream gift card. And so the best way to do that is to have, we love a drum roll here on the Wib Wake Up Show. If you've listened for any length of time, you know Caleb and I love going to the drum roll. We've been announcing the CCM Song Showdown. We'll have another one of those, 7:15 to 7:45 this morning. Jason Gray has to take on Crowder, so that's going to be quite the test. But who goes away from Vicky and Alan and Nancy and Julie and Sue? The winner of the $20 gift card for Olson's is Vicky in Eau Claire. Congratulations, Vicky.
Awesome.
All right, and thanks to them for their support as well. Caroline, thanks so much. You said your favorite artist is Toby Mac. How about a little T-Mac this morning? Light shines bright on WWIB. All right, another CCM Song Showdown, second round.
Yeah, so we have Miriam from Ladysmith, who nominated Jason Gray. She's going with the song Sparrows against Jackie from Eau Claire, and Jackie's using Crowder's song Milk and Honey for this round. So Sparrows by Jason Gray against Milk and Honey by Crowder.
All right, so two ways to vote. The listener line, 715-396-1670, and then that bonus vote available, the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page, Facebook group, if you will. So let's get it rolling. Miriam introducing the song she's going with.
Hi, WWIB fam. This is Miriam. I chose Sparrows by Jason Gray because I love the catchy rhythms as well as the message. Sparrows is a gentle reminder as someone who gets anxious about the little things to give all my cares and worries to God. He holds tomorrow, and I won't walk through it alone. Even the sparrow knows that God will take care of them, so God will take care of me too. God bless.
All right, that's song number one, Jason Gray, nominated by Miriam. And we got song number two this morning, nominated by another listener in the Chippewa Valley.
Hi, guys. This is Jackie from Eau Claire, and our second song with Crowder is Milk and Honey. I like this song because it has a sweetness to it, and it makes me smile, and it has great energy. The combination of milk and honey represents a land of plenty, where resources are abundant and life is rich and fruitful, which I think we all have. I feel we have joy and pleasure of living in God's favor. Crowder is one of our favorite bands, and my family hopes you pick him. Thanks. Have a great day.
All right, we call it the CCM Song Showdown. Each round, you've got to have a different song. So the second round, Jason Gray's Sparrows up against Crowder's Milk and Honey. And the listeners have spoken both on the listener line at 396-1670 and also the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook group. So without further ado, Caleb.
The winner is Sparrows by Jason Gray. Jason Gray moves on to the next round.
Congratulations to Jason Gray and to Miriam, who nominated him as he makes it to the third round. Crowder, hey, he won it all in year two, but not to be this year. Something a little interesting this morning, words from people's names.
Yes, how things in common parlance maybe got their names from people's last names. For instance, after opening his first property in Paris in 1898, Caesar Ritz went on to become, quote, king of hoteliers and hotelier to kings. And because of his lavish life and more lavish hotels, we have the word Ritzy.
Ritzy, I guess, okay. I think of Ritz crackers too, right?
So, yeah.
A boycott. How about that? Facing famine in the 19th century Ireland, poor farmers asked their estate manager for a rent reduction. He rejected their pleas. They refused to pay him. Boycott brought in new workers and won the battle. But he lost the war to history. His name became used for this kind of organized protest, boycott.
Words that come from people's names. I actually was familiar with this one. Sideburns comes from Ambrose Burnside. Not sideburn, but Ambrose Burnside. He was a Civil War general in the Union Army with an impressive head of facial hair. And after he appeared in parades in Washington, D.C., his long, bushy side whiskers became fashionable. Those whiskers were first known as Burnsides. The word later switched to sideburns for some reason.
Try telling somebody, oh, I like your Burnsides. Maverick, Samuel A. Maverick, famous for what he didn't do. A Texas lawyer in the 1800s, he once received a fee in cattle rather than cash. Not being a rancher, he simply let his herd wander. Unbranded cattle were called, you guessed it, Mavericks, and that word kept roaming until it included others who reject the crowd.
And one more right now. We'll give you some more later. Words from people's names. Silhouette. Etienne de Silhouette was a French finance minister in the 1700s whose name became a byword for outline. One theory for this maintains that the minister was extremely cheap and would never permit a full portrait when a simple outline would do.
Huh. There you go.
Silhouette.
Boy, those words, there's a history behind them. There's indeed some more we'll get to a bit later. Well, names. And we talked about it last hour. Words from people's names. We covered five. We've got four more.
Yes. So, again, we talked about Ritzy and boycott and sideburns and Maverick, things that actually came from people's last names. How about this one? Sandwich. Maybe you've heard a bit of this. The Earl of Sandwich was a distinguished military man and politician in 18th century England. He was also, apparently, a gambler who could spend 24 continuous hours at the tables. According to legend, rather than interrupt his play for meals, he ordered slices of cold beef between pieces of toast, and thereby we got sandwich. Actually, that sounds like the Bracken Avenue beef from Eau Claire Cheese and Deli that we enjoyed the other day. So good.
That was terrific. The Earl of Sandwich. That's
the
quite
Earl the Earl of Sandwich.
How about Cardigan? Named after James Brudenell, the 7th Earl of Cardigan, a British military commander who led the charge of the Light Brigade. The knitted jacket-like garment was modeled after the waistcoat he and his officers wore, hence the cardigan.
It did not just come from a Taylor Swift song. Words from people's names. Diesel. Named after Rudolf Diesel, the German engineer who invented the diesel engine in the 1890s. All right.
There you go.
Pretty cool last name, Diesel.
Didn't start with Vin Diesel. And finally, Shrapnel, named after Henry Shrapnel. I'm not kidding. A British Army officer who invented a type of artillery shell that contained small metal balls or pieces that scattered upon explosion.
There you go. A lot of words that we use commonly, and many of them came from people's last names.
Huh. Hmm. There you go.